Caucus. Imran Anwar is the president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York. He is also a well-known media expert on Southeast Asia, India, and Pakistan, and he joins us now on the Business Line. Hi, Imran.
Good morning, George. Sorry, I was trying to find a quiet spot.
That's quite all right. How are you doing today?
Very good.
Now, let me ask you about something. Going, right after the election, I guess election is the proper word anyway. There were headlines all over the place saying that the euphoria that surrounded President Suharto's resignation and Mr. Habibi taking over may soon fade as the country grapples with economic collapse and political uncertainty. Where are we in this case? What is your assessment? Has the euphoria faded? Where are we? And how? What is your assessment of the Habibi regime today?
Well, basically, George, the lesson I think we have learned is that euphoria always fades. Whether it's after the Gulf War, it can't save George Bush. And whether it's nuclear explosions in India and Pakistan, it doesn't keep the government very popular when the price of oil goes up 25%. And the same thing is basically happening in Indonesia. And we have the people sort of getting a little antsy about when they will actually see some change and when it will actually impact their lives. And the sad news there is it might actually adversely impact their lives before things get better.
What is the what was the Indonesian assessment of Mr. Habibi prior to his taking over from Mr. Suharto? I had just gotten bits and pieces, but I picked it up that he was thought of as kind of not very highly thought of, kind of, and I don't mean this as an insult to the past vice president. I'm talking purely image, but he kind of had a Dan Quayle-esque kind of a reputation.
I won't even touch that Dan Quayle one because we could be here forever.
Yeah. But well, I mean, fair or unfair, true or untrue. That's why I was saying I didn't mean it as any kind of a slight, but it's just the impression that was put forward.
Basically, George, the office of the vice president is fairly a figurehead kind of thing, even in a country like America. But in countries where you have authoritarian regimes or personality-driven government, the role is purely ceremonial, and I don't think any country in that region really remembers who their vice president was 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Quayle is at least remembered as much as Murphy Brown is, and that's quite an achievement back to standards in those parts of the country, of the world.
So it's not so unusual that he might have that reputation as kind of just not particularly competent, or at least not chosen because of competency.
Right. Yeah. Actually, George, it's funny. In a way, I guess it could be worse to be known or thought of as incompetent than to not be thought of at all.
Yeah.
And I guess that would be a sort of a liability to have, where people have a negative image of you, rather than, hey, whoa, was he our vice president all these years and we didn't even know it?
Now,
I think what is going on there is that just the fact that he was part of Mr. Suharto's team, and the fact that everyone on Mr. Suharto's team was part of the looting and plundering that went on in the economy. Technically, he was guilty by association, even if he had been an angel as far as the people were concerned.
Yeah.
The fact that they have given him this chance, he, again, I have said this on previous podcasts, he's an extremely lucky man, and he should do something to go down in history now rather than just in just among on the good list of his friends and relatives.
And sometimes these fellows do that. We've seen it a number of times in East Europe. I think it's safe to say that people that have reputations in the past that were basically yes men for the Communist Party have moved forward with a different kind of an agenda, now free of that yoke. What does it appear Mr. Habibi is doing?
I think he is trying to give the impression of not making sudden drastic moves and going on a vendetta against the previous people. After all, he belongs to that group. But at the same time, he's trying to appease the people. In the meantime, I think a lot of people's attention is still focused on how much money the IMF will disburse. And, we have made some progress on that. The IMF has given them some money. The issues are, obviously, East Timor is a good issue to come up at this stage because it's an issue that has been on the books since 1975, but to have this issue with the government offering to a special status to East Timor, that obviously is also a good tactic in terms of diverting attention from economic issues, where one U.S. dollar converts to about 13,000 Indonesian rupees, whereas it was at 2,000 exactly 1 year ago.
Yeah.
So diversions like that will benefit him a little bit, and human nature being what it is, people will fall for things like that, but he has to find solutions to the economic issues, and that is not going to happen very easily and very soon. As a matter of fact, the issue of the oil production that you and I spoke about is going to impact them also, because with the OPEC-led oil production cut, there will be an impact on Indonesia also.
East Timor, a kind of a hot potato situation. Is this something that Habibie would like to get rid of if he could, or is this he's hardened? Are the Indonesian leaders basically hardened on this position? And what is your assessment of where they're going with this and the importance going forward?
Well, the importance of the issue is obviously recognized at the United Nations level. Jamshed Marker, or Jim Marker as we call him, is someone I have known for many years. He is the UN Special Envoy who flew to Indonesia and to East Timor basically to see what was going on there. Now, the stance of Mr. Suharto was highly, was very stiff, and there was no debate or discussion on it.
Yeah, well, it's basically the occupation of East Timor was basically under his regime anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that differentiates the East Timorese occupation, let's say, by the Indonesian government, is slightly less of a flashpoint for geopolitical affairs than, say, the Indian reluctance to even discuss Kashmir, is because in the Kashmir issue, there is Pakistan on the other side laying claim to that territory. In Indonesia, we don't have that situation. It's mostly 800,000 people in one territory. So it's almost like a small island off, let's say, the coast of the United States. And if 800,000 people there decide they want to secede from the Union, I don't think we'll have a major national outcry if the U.S. tries to keep its control on that territory, for example.
We're going to run out of time, and I wish we had a little more. Just briefly, real briefly, what does it look like economically right now, and what they're going to be experiencing over the next few months?
Well, my feeling is that, unfortunately, it will get a little worse before it gets better. A negative 15% rate of economic growth is not a good thing, and it will make life a little more miserable for them. But it's still, the ball is in Mr. Habibie's court, and he has until the end of this year to prove that he can do something, and he will avail this historic opportunity that time and history have given him.
Well, Imran, thank you as always for joining us. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Imran Anwar, president of Imran Anwar Incorporated in New York.
This is air traffic on AM 1600.